baby lying asleep where cattle flee? Who is this babe that merits not a bed? Yet angel choirs proclaim the glory of his name, and wise men by a star to him are led. He's Emmanuel, the God of all the ages, come in human flesh to die in sinner's stead. Though he was God, yet he was pleased to live on earth with men. But why these swaddling clothes, this cattle stall, and why this manger? Is this weary man sitting down upon a well, too busy with the souls of men to eat? Who is this man that's sleeping in tempest-driven boat, until aroused its fury to defeat? He's Emmanuel, the God of all the ages, come in human flesh, salvation to complete. He was God, yet he was pleased to live on earth with men. But why no palace fair, no pillow soft, and why these weary feet? Who is this man they're mocking with thorns upon his brow? Who is this one deserves such cruelty? Man suspended on yonder rugged cross, the object of such shame and blasphemy. He's Emmanuel, the God of all the ages, come in human flesh to bleed and die for me. Though he was God, yet he was pleased to live on earth with man. But why these cruel nails, this cold
thank you. I want you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 23. The book of Luke, chapter 23. And we'll begin our reading in verse number 33. It is such a joy to look out and see this great number of people here. And there's a lot of things that maybe several of you don't even know is going on here. We've got large children's programs going on. I have a bus youth church going on today. They had 94 in the youth group today. Isn't that great? That's a blessing. And we're praising God for all of this, and we're praying that the Lord will have His way this morning. And we've been much prayer going into this day. A lot of work. The Lord knows that. And I believe the Lord's going to meet with us today. I really do. Sense in my own heart and soul, and I trust if you're lost, that not one person here who does not know Jesus will leave the same way they came in. That's our prayer. All over the grounds. Luke chapter 23, verse 33. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, the word malefactor means a wrongdoer or a thief, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. In verse number 33, the Bible says there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And I want to preach to you today on this subject. Which thief are you? Which thief are you? Let's pray together. I'll share this thought with you. Our Father God, we love you. We thank you for this great day that you have obviously given to us. Thank you for answering prayer, that not allowing the temperature to drop too low so this wet weather would be ice. I praise you for that. And I pray, God, that you help me as I have prepared for this moment. And as I've prayed, and as our church has prayed, those who are standing all over these grounds right now, I pray that you empower every one of us. And empower me. If somebody's lost, God, please get me out of the way. May thy will be done. May you not be hindered in this place. May your will be done, I beg of you. Defeat Satan and his evil spirits in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we travel back to the place called Calvary. And as we look, we see the Son of God hanging on the middle cross. And on either side of him, there's a malefactor or a thief, if you will, that's hanging, dying as a result of their crimes. Let me say loud and clear that every one of us, notice I say us, are represented by one of these two thieves. And what I want to do today is I want to draw our attention to the scene of the three crosses and bring out three things I see to help us determine on which side of Jesus we're on today, which thief we really are. And by the end of this message, you will know which side of Jesus Christ you're on. And the beautiful thing is this, if you're on the right side of him, I'm talking about when I mean the right side, I'm talking about those who are in his family. They've received him as their Lord and Savior. That's a wonderful place to be. But if you're on the other side of him and you're like the one who rejected him, the great news about this is that you can make a conscious decision and you can flip-flop your sides this morning and you can become a receiver of Jesus Christ. Now there's three things I want you to notice with me. Number one, the first thing is the condition of the thieves. Now in our text here, I didn't read all of it because it goes down to verse 43. But for time's sake, I didn't read it all. But in this text, we see some things that summarize the condition of these two thieves that every one of us can identify with. As a matter of fact, there are two separate things that summarizes the condition of these two men that are hanging, bleeding, and dying beside the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, under this, they had the condition that they were criminals. Now, notice the Bible calls them in verse 33 and verse 39, the Bible calls them a malefactor. Now, that word malefactor means a criminal. It means a wrongdoer. Now, it's interesting to note the fact that these two men are not known by their name. God did not say they hung John and they hung Joe, one on each side of Jesus. No, he simply said they hung a criminal on each side. And it's interesting to understand this, folks. He called them by what they really were. He called them a sinner. He called them a criminal. And let me say this to you right here. When God looks down upon this earth, he does not see a good person when he looks at you. He doesn't see a good person when he looks at me. Rather, in Luke 18, 19, none is good save one, and that is God. When God looks upon this earth, just like he saw those two criminals, when he looks at you and he looks at me, he sees those who are guilty. Now stay with me here. These two, get this, were guilty of the crime they committed. They had broken the law of the land. Now in the same way, just like these two human beings broke the law of the land back in that day, and they were criminals, they were guilty. In the same way, you and I have broken the law of God, and we are guilty. The Bible says in 1 Kings 8:46, 2 Chronicles 6:36, for there is no man that sinneth not. In Ecclesiastes 7:20, for there's not a good, but right here it says, for there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, all have sinned. Get this, just as they were called by what they were, so could we be called by what we are. We are sinners. We are criminals in God's law. In other words, just like they broke the law of the land, you and I have broken the law of God. Now, some people may say this, well, I'm not as bad as he or she is. I'm just as good as they are. You listening to me? It's time we understand that God does not want us to compare ourselves to ourselves. We must compare ourselves to his perfect standard. If you ever make it to heaven, it'll be because you have met the conditions of having a perfect record. Now that's bad news because none of us are perfect. Not you and not me. Now, I know what somebody may be saying. I'm not a bad person. What are you talking about? You listening? We're all bad. When you think of the law of God, what do you think of? Ten Commandments? May I remind you that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of God's commands? Hundreds of them. Not just ten, hundreds of them. But let's just measure up to the Ten Commandments.
Let's see how we measure up to God's perfect standard. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Has there ever been a time in your life that God has not been first place? Have you ever at any time in your life put anybody or anything above God? Before you answer, if you're not reading your Bible every day, you're guilty. Before you answer, if there's ever been a time in your life when you realize that's wrong, but you did it anyway, you just put yourself in the place of God. You listening? Every one of us falls short of that command right there. But just in case somebody says, not me, let's move on. Let me just go down to commandment number 6 here. Thou shalt not kill. I know what you're thinking. I've never killed anybody. Wait a minute. In the book of Matthew chapter number 5 verses 21 and 22, Jesus said, it's been said of old, thou shalt not kill. Then he goes on to say, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is guilty of murder. You ever been mad at somebody? You ever been upset with somebody because of what they did to you? You ever held bitterness in your heart? You've broken commandment number 6. What's commandment number 7? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Somebody says, I never committed adultery in my life. Wait a minute. In the book of Matthew chapter number 5, verses 27 and 28, Jesus said this, you've heard of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her in his heart hath committed adultery with her already. You ever had a bad thought go through your mind? You ever had an ungodly, immoral thought go through your mind? Guilty. Guilty. You go on to commandment number 10, what is it? Thou shalt not covet. I know nobody's guilty of that. You ever wish you had something somebody else had? Have you? We all have. You know what the law proves to us? The law proves to us not that we're good, but that we're bad, and we have broken God's perfect standard. That's what the law does. The Bible tells us what it's for. And may I remind you that in James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. That's what God said. See, so many times we are guilty of separating the law of God. That yes, that law, well, yes, I've broken that, but I've kept that one and that one and that. God says my law is one. It's one whole. It's like a chain link chain that I've said several times from this pulpit. It's one chain with several links. But if you're hanging from that chain from a mountain or from a cliff and you're holding on for dear life, it only takes one link to break to send you to your death. And in the same way, the law of God is one continuous whole. And if you keep everything, I mean, you're perfect in your own mind, but you've only sinned one time, you're guilty of everything. That's what God says. Now, what is God telling us? He's trying to show us you cannot make it to heaven on your own. That's what he's trying to tell us. Because the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter number 3, don't turn to it for time's sake, but in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, it tells us why he gave the law. Did he give the law so you and I can keep it, so we can earn our way to heaven? No. He gave the law to prove to us that we are criminals, that we are guilty and we have broken his commandments. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, it says this. It says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, get this, that every mouth may be stopped. And all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Bible goes on to say in the book of Galatians chapter number 3 and verses 24 and 25, it says this. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. In other words, God's telling us something. He's saying, yes, I have a law. Yes, my law is perfect. Yes, it must be kept entirely. But my law was not given to you to show you how good you are. My law was not given to you so you could prove to me that you can keep it. It's impossible for you to keep it. It is a perfect standard. You have broken my law, and that law is not to earn your salvation. That law is to drive you to Jesus Christ, because you realize in your own lost condition, you can never make it to heaven. That's number one. The first condition of these criminals here, of these thieves, is number one, they were criminals. Number two, they were condemned. They were guilty. And secondly, they were dying.
The Bible tells us this in verses 33 and 40 when it says they crucified them. You listening? Nobody came back from crucifixion. When they nailed you on a cross, you're going to die, buddy. It's that simple. It wasn't a matter of if, it was only a matter of time. Now listen to me, you're listening well. In the same way, because we've sinned and we've broken the law of the land, we have been condemned to spiritual death. The Bible tells us this in Romans 6:23, for the wages or payment of sin is death. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man, talking about Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men for that all have sinned. Have you ever sinned? Sure you have. You know what that means? You do not deserve heaven. You deserve spiritual death. It's the second death. It's what the Bible calls the lake of fire. Romans 5:18, therefore as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Now, I'm hurriedly proceeding here, but let me just draw this first point to a conclusion. Just as these two thieves, we looked at their condition, just as they were condemned to death because of their sin, we have been condemned to spiritual death because of our sin. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of time. Revelation 20, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now this first point is terrible news. That's terrible. That's awful. Because every one of us are just like those two thieves. They were criminals. That means they were guilty. They were condemned. That means they were dying in the same way, just like they broke the law of the land. You and I have broken the law of God. Because of that, just like they were condemned to death, it wasn't a matter of if, just when. You and I have been condemned to spiritual death, the lake of fire. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. That brings us to my second point. My second point is not only the condition of the thieves, but number two, the Christ on the middle cross. Now, first of all, we have considered these two thieves on each side of Jesus. Now I want to bring our attention to the middle cross here in Luke chapter 23 for this point. We're shifting our attention here. I hope you see that. Point three brings out which thief you are. And we see that Christ, Jesus Christ, as this thief is hanging on this side and this thief is hanging on this side for their sin, we shift our attention to the middle cross and Jesus Christ is hanging there. Unjustly. Verse number 33 says, where they crucified him. In those four words, that condenses over 18 hours of suffering into four words. Four words, but he suffered 18 hours. He had been arrested. He had been tried and convicted in a mock trial. False witnesses had been called against him, and he had been abused by the temple guards. That's found in Mark chapter 14, verse 65. He had been taken to Pilate, where he was abused by Pilate's soldiers. As a matter of fact, Mark 15, 15 tells us they scourged him with the cat of nine tails. The cat of nine tails was a Roman whip with nine strands coming out of it. I don't think anybody knows for sure exactly what they tied in it, but there was nine strands coming out of it, and each strand would have something tied within it that would rip the flesh. I've heard it was like glass and bone and rocks or anything they could find that would lacerate the skin. And they would somehow tie the victim up to a pillar. Somehow, I've heard that some people think that they tied his hands above his head like this and stretched him out. I've heard some people say that they wrapped his arms around like a pillar-like object and stretched his back. It doesn't matter how they did it. The fact is they did it. They tied him up, and a Roman soldier reared back with that cat of nine tails, and he would come down on the back, and that stuck pretty much all that stuff that was intertwined in those twines there would dig into the flesh, and then they would rip it back, and they would come back down, and they would rip it back, and they would come down, and they would rip it back, and nobody knows how often and how many times they hit him. We do know that in the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, it's a prophecy of the crucifixion. He made the statement, my inwards stare upon me. That tells me that as you looked at his back, I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just trying to show you what he went through so you don't have to go through. As you looked at him at his back, you could possibly see his internal organs. In Matthew 27, 27 to 35, we see they beat him. We see in Matthew 26, they spit upon him. They cleared their throat and one by one came by and spit into his holy face. Isaiah 50 verse 6 talks about them pulling his beard out by the roots. They grabbed his beard and yanked it. Excruciating pain. In Mark chapter 15 verse 17, we see that they crowned him with thorns. And when you and I think of thorns today, we think of these little rosebush thorns. But I've seen the thorns that's been taken from that land. A picture of them, or somebody had one time. Folks, those thorns are about this big. And they made a crown out of them. And they put it on his head and they took a stick and they beat it down upon his skull. And the Bible says the blood came out. Mark 15, 17 to 20 says they mocked him. And yet in all the Gospels it tells us specifically in Mark 15, 25 that they nailed him to the cross. They nailed him there. As a matter of fact, there's five deadly wounds known to mankind. In other words, each one of these wounds by itself can kill a person. You have the bruise, the laceration, the penetration, the perforation, and the incision. Each one of those wounds can kill a person by itself. Jesus Christ suffered all five. The bruise when they hit his face. The laceration when they ripped his back open with the cat of nine tails. The penetration of thorns through his brow. The perforation, the spikes in his hands and the spikes in his feet. The incision after he's already dead, a Roman soldier came and ran a spear up through his side. He suffered all five of those deadly wounds. And by the way, he didn't have to do that. You say, Jody, that's crazy. If he didn't have to do it, why did he? Well, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him," talking about Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." What a beautiful verse. Christ died, get this, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 says. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. The bottom line, get this now, folks, because I'm getting ready to shift back to the I'm talking about to the two thieves. We've looked at the thieves first, their condition, they're criminals, they're guilty, they're condemned, they're dying. But yet we see the lovely Lord Jesus who's dying on the cross, and right beside them, one on the right, one on the left. And he was dying when he wasn't worthy to die. But yet he chose to die for the sins of the world. He was dying for you. He was dying for me. And get this, he was dying for both of the thieves. He was. Now that brings me to my third and final point, and this is really where the message starts to be applied. And I've got your attention. I hope you'll stay with me, please. Number one, the condition of the thieves. Number two, the Christ on the middle cross. Number three, the contrast of the thieves. Now I want you to look at this. We've seen how these two thieves were similar in their condition. Both were sentenced to death for their crime. And it was only a matter of time before they died and entered eternity. Both of them. They're similar in that. They were similar in having Christ dying for their sin right beside them. Both of them were similar in that. They were both guilty. They were both dying. They were both looking at Jesus Christ beside them who was dying for their sin. But they were so different in their response. Now I want to separate these two. Here it is. One of them rejected Christ. One of them received him. And in this congregation, you are one of those two. You have either rejected him or you have received him. If you've received him, it's heaven for all eternity. If you've rejected him, it's hell for all eternity. Unless you realize, I want to receive him, and he's given you another opportunity to do that today. I want to look at the rejector first, and then I want to draw our attention to the receiver, because that is the main thrust of the message. You know the one thing about this rejector? Look at verse number 39 of our text.
Now, this is one who's dying just like the other one. He's guilty just like the other one. But he said no to Jesus Christ. Verse 39. It says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. You know what that word railed means? It means to make fun of. Can you imagine this? This man is dying and he's laughing at Jesus. That is ridiculous. You listening? That's still happening today. Because you and I are not living. I know we're alive, but understand what I'm saying. We're not living more. We're dying every day, folks. That's great news, isn't it? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning and heard you're dying? But you are. It's the truth. You say, prove it. You listening? You can't go back and live yesterday, can you? It's over. You're getting closer and closer and closer to death. The bottom line about this man who rejected, here's the bottom line. He had the same mindset and the same opinion of Christ as everybody else around him. He did. You can see it in verse 35. Look at it in verse 30. And the people stood beholding. And the rulers also derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he be Christ. That's what those who are just standing looking at. I'm talking about that's a picture of the world. Just standing around the cross. And they're deriding him. They're derailing him. They're saying, if he's Christ, let him come down. Here's this thief saying the same thing that everybody else is saying. He's got the same opinion of Christ that the world did. Bible says he railed on him. Like I told you, that means speak evil. By the way, that's in the imperfect active. What's that mean? That means it carries the idea that he kept on railing on him. It's not that he made fun of him and shut up. He kept it up. He kept mocking him. Kept on laughing at him. Kept on defiling him. Kept on defaming him. I've just kept it up. Can you imagine that? This man is dying and he's spending his last moments making fun of the Son of God that's dying right beside him. Awful. This man rejected Christ. He defamed him. Secondly, he doubted him. Because he said, if thou be Christ. He didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. He didn't believe Jesus was God. And then he asked him, he said, won't you, listen, if you really are, won't you save yourself and us? He didn't want deliverance from his sin. He wanted deliverance from his pain. The rejecter wouldn't accept Christ at arm's length. You listening to this? This is a sobering thought. When this man began to mock Christ and laugh at him, the word of God is silent about this man until we get to John chapter 19, verse 32. The next time this man is mentioned, it is when the Roman soldiers are coming by to break his legs. It's the next time he's mentioned. Now get this. The last thing he felt in this world was the crushing blow of the hammer against his shins. Now the reason they did this is because when they crucified people, what they would do is they would slump down. And when they would slump down, their heart would begin to fill with fluid. And they would begin to suffocate. It was hard for them to breathe. So they would push up against their feet. Can you imagine? With a spike in your feet. They would have to push up on their feet just so they could breathe. And they would get a few breaths. And then they would slump back down. And then they would start suffocating. They would push up. So they came by to break their legs so they would suffocate. Do you see that? They could no longer push up because their legs were broken. So they would die gasping for breath. That's the last time this man's mentioned. When the hammer was breaking his legs. I want you to get this. The last thing this man felt on this earth was pain. But it didn't compare to anything what he felt when he died. He went to a Christless, hopeless, eternal lake of fire. You say, that's hateful preaching, Jody. Correction. That's loving preaching, folks. Because when somebody loves you, they give it to you straight. And I'm telling you, there is a lake of fire. I didn't say it. I wish it wasn't true. But God's word teaches it, and it is a fact. Somebody says, I don't believe it. Makes no difference what you believe. Because if the doctor comes to you and says, listen, you've got this condition, you can deny it all you want to. Doesn't change the fact. I'm trying to help you today.
This first rejecter here, this thief that rejected, he's like the infidel Adams. This man Adams, we don't even have his first name, but his last name's Adams. He didn't need, at least he claimed he didn't believe in God until he was dying. And when he's dying, he starts screaming, "I'm lost! I'm lost! I'm lost!" Voltaire, who's an ungodly person, rejected Jesus Christ in his life. As he was dying, he started screaming out, "Oh Christ, oh Jesus, I must die abandoned by God and man." A man by the name of Kay, a Christ rejecter, as he was dying, he kept screaming one word over and over again. He kept screaming, "Hell, hell, hell," and he went out dying, and he died with his last breath screaming that word. You say, "Jody, why are you telling me this? You trying to scare me if that's what it takes?" Because I'm going to tell you something. Why in the world would anybody reject Jesus Christ? That man rejected him. But this brings me to my last and final point, and I've given myself about 10 minutes to do it. Here we go. The rejecter, now the receiver. In verses 40 to 42, we see that the other thief received the Lord. Now, on one side of Christ was the rejecter. On the other side of Christ was the receiver who didn't listen to the crowd. Now, there are five things that this man did. Now, I'm going to show it to you. And if you're sitting there right now and you say, "Jody, I believe I'm a rejecter. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not, but I'll tell you one, I want to go. How can I go? How can I become from a rejecter? How can I become the receiver? How can I do it?" Here we go, number one. He altered his opinion. You say, "What's that mean?" It means he repented. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Don't turn to it, but in Matthew chapter number 27. Now here in Luke, it says that only one of the thieves derailed him and defamed him and made fun of him. But in Matthew chapter 27, verses 41 to 44, now listen to this. It says, "Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will save him, for he said, I am the Son of God.'" Notice this, verse 44. "The thieves, plural, also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." Now stay with me here. In Mark chapter number 20, in Mark chapter 15 and verse number 32, listen to this. In other words, in Luke, it tells us only one of them made fun of God, Jesus. But right here in Matthew and Mark, the Bible tells us in Matthew 15, 32, it says, "Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, and that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him." Now in Matthew and Mark, we see that both thieves are derailing him. Both thieves are deriding him. Both thieves are mocking him. Do you see that? But when you get to the book of Luke, two went to one. What happened? Somewhere along the line, this man changed his mind. This man repented of his evil way. This man realized somewhere that as he was deriding the Lord and making fun of God, something got a hold of his mind. He said, "Wait a minute, that's not right. I'm altering my opinion. I am no longer going to make fun of him." And let me tell you something. If you ever receive Christ, you must repent of your sin. You must know that you have sinned, and you must make a turn towards God. That's not works. That's simply saying this: you recognize this is the wrong way. I am guilty. I am not perfect. If I keep going this way, I'm going to be lost. Wait, I will turn. And you say, that's what repentance is. The Bible tells us in the book of Luke, chapter 13, verse 3, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Number one, he altered his opinion. He realized he was going the wrong way. He changed his mind. Secondly, he admitted his guilt. Verses 40 and 41, look at it. "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation?'" Notice this. "And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds." He's saying, "We, what's happening to us?" In other words, this one thief just keeps on railing, keeps on making fun. And all of a sudden, this man who's just repented, I mean, he's just said, "Wait a minute, this is not right." He is who he says he is. And he turns his attention to the other thief and he says, "Don't you fear God? Listen, we're in the condemnation, and what's happening to us, it is right. This is right. We're guilty. Let me tell you this. Some people never trust Christ because they don't think they need to. This man was saying, I am a sinner. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Luke chapter 18, verse 13 says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That's what Jesus said. This man altered his opinion. That means he repented. He realized that the way he was going was wrong. Secondly, he admitted his guilt. He's not going to cast blame. He's not going to say it's the court's fault. He's saying, I am guilty. I have broken the law. Thirdly, he acknowledged Christ's innocence. We see this in verse 41, the latter phrase, but this man hath done nothing amiss. This man acknowledged the fact that Jesus Christ was not guilty of sin. This man acknowledged the fact that Jesus Christ, who was dying beside him, that what was happening to him was not just. It was just for him because he was guilty. But it wasn't just for him because he was the Son of God. Do you see that? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, again, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was perfect? You say, I don't, I believe he's a sinner. Then you're lost and you'll split hell wide open. I don't like that. Get over it. Because it's the fact. You will not become a child of God unless you understand that you are a sinner, like I had to do one day many years ago. Like if you're saved, you had to realize, I'm going wrong. This is not right. I am guilty. I am lost. But Jesus Christ, he is God's Son. He never sinned. He's perfect. Then number four, he accepted Christ's claim. Verses 41 and 42, he says, look at verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know what he was saying here? He's saying, I recognize that you are a king. I recognize you are the Messiah. I recognize that you are the ruler. You are sovereign. What a beautiful picture of salvation we have here. Romans 10:9, and if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Here we go. Here's this man who's receiving the Lord. He altered his opinion. He realized this is not right. He turns and he says, I am guilty. I have broken the law of God. What's happening to me is right. This is just. But what's happening to this man is not right. He's perfect. Then he looks at him and says, Lord, your kingdom, remember me. Man, he's accepting that who Christ said he was is exactly who he is. Then there's a fifth and final thing. I'm on my final page of notes, and people are wiping their eyes, wiping their brows. Hurry up, please. Here we go, number five. Here's where the rubber meets the road. He simply asked the Lord to remember him. That's it. It's found in verse 42. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. See, folks, salvation is a gift. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Get this. This repentant thief, this man who realized he was going wrong, he repented and he turned to the Lord and he simply said, I believe. Would you save me? And the Lord saved him. Isn't that great? This man, that's why Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know how you get saved? You realize you're a sinner. You realize Jesus Christ is not a sinner, but that he died in your place for you. And you turn from your way saying, I realize that's wrong. I am guilty. I realize he is perfect. He died for me. I will accept him. Will you come into my heart and forgive me? It's simple. It's because it's a gift. It's simple because he worked hard for it. He died
died. He had his beard plucked out. He had spikes driven through his hands. He had spikes driven through his feet. He worked on the cross so he could give it to you free of charge. One saw him as a liar and ridiculed him. The other saw him as Lord and received him. One saw him as a clown, the other saw him as Christ. One saw him as a foolish sinner, the other one saw him as the Father's Son. One saw him as a wretched loser, the other one as a wonderful Lord. One saw him as a pitiful buffoon, but the other one saw him as a precious benefactor. One saw him just as another sinner, but the other one saw him as the awesome Savior. This receiver here, this man over here was like Kay, but this man over here was like A.J. Gordon. Remember, Kay screamed, "Hail, hail, A.J. Gordon, who is a child of God, who received Jesus as his Savior." As he died, he screamed one word too, but it wasn't hail. He screamed, "Victory, victory, victory," and he went out meeting God screaming victory. That's a great way to meet God. I wonder which thief most accurately portrays you. What do we learn from this lesson? Here we go. Number one, we are all in the same condition. We are all guilty. We are all dying. Number two, Christ died for our sins. Number three, salvation is a gift. All you've got to do is ask for it. Number four, the choice is up to you. Proverbs 11:7, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish. And the hope of unjust men perisheth. I remind you in Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into it, talking about heaven, anything that defileth, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Folks, listen to me, please. I'm just about done. I appreciate you listening so well. If you're sitting here right now and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, there was a time in every one of our lives who do know Him when we were just like that. But I don't know of one person who regrets that they received Him as their Savior. And tomorrow may be too late. I'll give you a couple of stories and I'm closing. Here we go. I'm going to come down here with you just a moment. Please, no distractions, please. This is so important. Don't close your Bible, folks. Leave it open. No distractions. Two stories. I'm closing. Here we go. Number one, there was a preacher who was standing in another state. True story. And he was preaching a gospel message, whatever the case may be, and he noticed there were two teenagers sitting in the congregation. A young man and a young lady. They were laughing, mocking, cutting up, making fun. And all of a sudden, that teenage boy grabbed a church hymnal like the one sitting in front of you, and he took a pen out and wrote something in it. Handed it to the girl. She wrote something in it. They slammed it shut, stormed out the back door. 15 minutes later, they were dead. Car crash. Sudden death. When that happened, they were interested to go back and find out what they had written in that hymnal. So they did. And the young man had written these words, "I will take my chances." And the young girl had written, "Me too." And they took their chances and they lost. You listening? God's undefeated. And you and I will not be his first defeat. If you're lost today, you're crazy to leave without trusting Christ. Because you're gambling with your soul if you do. I'll tell you this story, I close. Revelation 20:15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I want you to pretend with me that this is the book of life. In many ways it is, you understand? Let's just pretend that this is the book of life that has all the names written in it. Are you with me? And let's say that I'm sitting out here among you and lo and behold, God steps in this auditorium. Now, please don't go home and say, "The preacher said he was God." I'm not saying that. Just pretend that I'm sitting out here with you and pretend that this is God. And he's holding the book of life in his hand. No doubt it would be dead quiet like it is right now. And he begins to speak. And he says, "I hold in my hands the book of life. If your name is here, I'm going to take you to heaven. If your name is not, you'll be left behind. And your eternal home is the lake of fire." If he came to your seat and he hands you the book of life, And he turned to the page where your name should be and could be. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that your name is there? If it is, rejoice. But if there's a doubt in your mind, the great thing about today is that before you even get up out of your seat, you can have the assurance that your name is now in the book of life. Which thief are you? May the Lord drive it on our hearts, please. Let's all bow our heads together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, we love you. I'm going to ask that nobody leave unless it's absolutely necessary, because I know the devil's going to try to work any way he can. So please, unless it's an emergency. Now, if it's an emergency, I understand that. Unless it's an emergency, I'm going to ask you to stay right where you're at. We're just about done here, folks. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Father, take it. Help me now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As they begin to play through softly, I want to begin to deal with you right there at your seat. In a crowd this size, with this many visitors and other people who may be visiting back with us, I have given you the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ dying, being buried, and rising again. And every person is identified with one of these two thieves. You're either the rejecter or you're the receiver. Now, all I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to be honest. That's all I want you to do. And by the way, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. You're not going to stand before me. You're going to stand before Him. If you know without a doubt that your name is in the book of life, you don't hope so, you don't think so, you know so. If you know that your name is in the book of life, be honest with God watching you. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? You know your name's there. Wonderful. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you could not raise your hand to that, I want to express my gratitude to say thank you for being honest. It all starts with honesty. It really does. If you're sitting there right now and you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that, but there's something in me that wants to raise my hand to that, I want you, if that's you right now, you know if that's you, I want you to listen very closely. You already know what it takes to become a child of God. I explained it to you in the message. You must realize that you are a sinner, that you have broken God's law. Whether you've broken one command or 10,000, it doesn't matter, because if you only break one, you've broken the entire law. You must realize that you're a sinner. You must realize that going down that way is not the right way. And you must turn to God and accept Jesus Christ by simply inviting Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Now, if you're right there and you say, Jody, this is me, this is what I need, I want to encourage you that there was a time when everybody who could raise their hand, there was a time when they couldn't raise their hand to that question, but they're glad they can now. You understand that? You can raise it too after this. I'm going to deal with you right in your seat. And if you really want to know the Lord as your Savior, and you believe that you're a sinner, but you know that Jesus died for you, and you want Him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, He'll change your life for the better. And I want you to simply ask Him to come in by praying this simple prayer. Now keep in mind, it's not in the words you say, it's in the heart attitude. If you really want it, He'll save you, is what I'm trying to say. This is just to help you do it. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists just to keep playing. I'm going to pray a phrase out loud. I do not want you to pray it out loud. I want you to pray it silently there at your seat. If you really mean business with this, I want you to pray it silently. Now, I know the devil's fighting you. The devil's a liar. Accept Jesus Christ, please. Here it is. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just pray it silently, but sincerely from your heart. Here it is. Lord Jesus,
I know I am a sinner, but I know that you died for me. And I'm asking you right now that you come into my heart, that you forgive my sins, and that you save my soul. The best way I know how, I accept you as my Savior. Now your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, you ought not to be ashamed of it. I'll tell you why. He was not ashamed to hang on a cross, barely clothed, to die in shame for you. And you ought not to be ashamed to say, I've just accepted him after all he's done for me. I'm thrilled that I'm now in his family. If you're there today and you say, Jody, I prayed that prayer with you. The best way I know how, I prayed it. The best way I know how, I meant it. I'm glad I did. Would you be an honest person right now? Not going to come to your seat. Not going to call you out. I promise you that I'm not going to embarrass you. If you say, Jody, I prayed that with you. I did. I just prayed it. I really did. I just become a child of God. I just asked the Lord. If that's you, quickly, quietly, right there at your place, would you slip your hand up in the air with mine, please? God bless you. God bless you and 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 you. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, that is a host of you. If you just prayed that prayer, would you do one more thing for me? Would you lift your eyes and look right up here at me, please? I'm not going to come to your seat. I told you I wouldn't, and I'm not going to. I want you to look right up here at me, please. If you just prayed that in a minute, I want you to look right up here at me. In just a moment, we're going to extend an invitation. Let me explain to you what that is. Do you have to do this? No, but you ought to do this. I'll tell you why. If you just prayed that prayer in a minute, the Lord just saved you. You may not even understand that yet. That's fine. I'm going to tell you why. Because now you're a baby in Christ. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, a baby can't make its own decisions. It has to be fed. Has to be nurtured. You're in the family. But if you never tell anybody, you'll never grow up the way God wants you to grow up. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, I want you to do me a favor. If you're sitting beside somebody that you know, now they may be looking at me already, but if somebody's sitting beside you that you know that is not looking at me, and you say, Jody, I'll come if they'll come with me. Now, listen to me, please. We've got trained counselors here that's just going to take a Bible and make sure that you understand. That's it. That's it. And we want to welcome you into the family of God. By the way, when I ask you to do anything that somebody didn't ask us to do in our life, and we praise God we did. So you shouldn't be ashamed of this. This is the greatest decision you'll ever make. No doubt about it. You understand that, right? You understand that? Greatest decision you'll ever make. You shouldn't be ashamed. May the Lord help you. May He help you. I want to ask you to stand with us, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. We're going to need several altar workers. I want you to leave your place. I want you to come. Our Father, would you help us now? Help these folks to respond. Please help them to respond. God, help them. Thank you for them raising their hand. Now help them to step out and say, I'm not ashamed of this. God, help you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it. Help it now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody looking but me and these altar workers. If God has spoken to you and you've just prayed to ask the Lord into your heart, I'm going to ask you right now with these people standing right here, I want you to leave your place now and share this with somebody here. Would you do that? God bless you. Others, would you come? There's a host of you. There's a host of you. I hope you'll do it. I hope you'll do it. Come now. Come now, folks. You say, I just prayed this prayer. God, help us with it. Why don't you step out? Why don't you step out and say, this is me. This is me. This is me. God help you to do it. God bless you. God bless you right here. Right here. These altar workers need to come meet these people, okay? Come meet these people. God help you with it. No doubt about it. Other people say, Jody, I just prayed this. I meant it. I'm glad I did. God help you. Come now. Come now. You say, Jody, this embarrasses me. Why? This is you becoming a child of God. Let's deal with these folks. Let's deal with these folks.
God help these folks here. May the Lord help you. There's still time for you. If you're coming forward, you say, Jody, I prayed that prayer. I meant it. I'm glad I did. I'm not ashamed. This is it. Why don't you come? Why don't you come along with these? Why don't you come along with these? If you're standing beside somebody that you're burdened about, be very careful how you do this. But if you feel led, why don't you talk to them and tell them, hey, if you want to go forward, I'll go forward with you. If you want to go forward, I'll go forward with you. May the Lord help you. May God help you with this. May the Lord help you with this. Amen. Amen. We may need some more workers, some more altar workers. Miss Lashley, others, I want you to be prepared for this. May God help you. May the Lord help you with this. We're going to need some ladies. Miss Wood, if you'll come. Becca, if you don't mind, you can help us here, if you'll do that. Good. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Isn't this good? Praise God for it. Praise God for it. There's still time for you. There's still time for you. There's still time for you. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. May God help you. May God help you. Amen. We'll take as long as needed. Amen, church. We'll take as long as needed. Oh, what a great response. What a wonderful response. There's still time for you. Don't you want to get in on this? God help you. God help you. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way. I've been praying for a long time. God will get me out of the way. And He'll do what only He can do. When God shows up, things happen. We praise God for it. We praise God for it. Amen. What number is that? 277. Take a church hymnal. Turn to page 277. We're dealing with folks. We're dealing with folks. We praise God. We praise God. If you're still standing, you may be seated if you don't mind to do that. You may be here a few minutes. Let's sing it. Let's sing that. Let's sing that, Brother Gary. 277. Sing it together. And let's keep singing until all these people are dealt with. There's still time for you if God is dealing with you. Would you leave your place as we sing? Would you come?
Come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Just keep singing, people being dealt with.
For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you.
We're playing through. We'll sing that next verse in just a moment, but I do say this. There may be still one lost. There may be two, three, four lost. I don't know. Maybe you trusted the Lord in your seat, but you didn't respond. Why don't you go by the Welcome Center and say, listen, I just prayed that. I meant it, and I'm glad I did. I'm not ashamed. If there's somebody still lost, I encourage you to see me. I'll stay here all day if I have to. I mean it. I mean it. I believe Brother Gary say the same thing. Amen. I believe there's other people say the same thing. I believe we'll stay all day if we have to. Church, listen. Don't ever swallow the lie. The gospel's still not powerful. The gospel still, listen. You turn the gospel loose. You let the Lord God deal with people. And He can do anything He wants to do. We praise God for it. Let's sing that last verse there, Brother Gary.
Come then and join this holy band and on to glory. little flock. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Amen. I want you to keep playing through. I'm going to call some names here. As I call your name, I'm going to ask you to stand, and I want your counselor that's there with you to stand with you. I don't want anybody standing by themselves. This is thrilling, isn't it? Amen. Gina Long, would you stand, please? Gina, you know that Jesus Christ died to save you, and you're coming today to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Praise God. We are thrilled for you. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Charles Sutherland. Charles, you know that Jesus Christ died to save you. And you're coming today to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. You know, we love it when all people come. But it is a special thrill when I see a man come. Because when we get the man, we get the family. You see what I'm saying? Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Tracy Lewis, would you stand, please? Tracy, God bless you. You're coming today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. And you mean that the best way you know how. Praise God. We're happy for you. Amen. Good night. I've got so many of them here. I'm going somewhere. Amber Baker, would you please stand? Amber, you believe that Jesus Christ died to save you? And you're coming today to receive Him as your Lord. Amen. You have a desire to be baptized and to be joined in the membership of our church. Now you understand that baptism has nothing to do with salvation. We'll talk to you further about these things. We'll take care of that in just a moment, okay? God bless you. You may be seated. Donna Williams. Donna, you're coming today to rededicate your life to the Lord. That's a thrilling decision. You see this lady over here, Miss Annis? Miss Annis, would you raise your hand to her? She came many years ago to rededicate her life. God changed her life. She's one of the finest Christians in our church. This should be the beginning point. God help you with it. Hope I have this name right. I'll just say Miss Ortiz. Which one is she? Is it Ortiz or Ortiz? Ortiz? Is it Maritza? Close enough? And you're coming today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen. Good.
God bless you. We're thrilled for you. Thank the Lord. Peter Protengeier. Is that close? I'm not going to ask you if that's right, but that's close. And you believe that Jesus died to save you? And you're coming today to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. Oh, I tell you.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Brandy Hughes. Brandy, you're coming today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know He died to save you. And you've accepted Him today. Thank the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Allie Miller, correct? Allie? Allie, you're coming today to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you know He died to save you. You're not ashamed of it, right? Thank the Lord. That's a blessing. You may be seated. Is it Jenna Colson? Jenna? You know that Jesus Christ died to save you. And you're accepting Him today. And you're glad you did, right? Well, we're thrilled with you. God bless you. You may be seated. Selena Ortiz, sisters, right? And both of you coming today to receive the Lord as your Savior. That's thrilling. God bless you. Thank the Lord. You may be seated. Tracy Lewis? I've already got you, haven't I? That's a double take. God bless you. She trusts the Lord today too. Amen. Mindy Sutherland, have I gotten you? I've got you now, right? husband and wife? Well, that is thrilling. This is a husband and wife. This is Mindy. Beautiful family. You're coming today and you receive the Lord as your Savior today. Praise God. Isn't that great? All of you happy for all these people. Would you say a big amen?
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. We have one here who desires membership in our church. All these people will come by your home, talk to you and answer your questions. And we hope every one of you will stay in here with us at our church. Our church is not the only church, but God spoke to you here. This is the church where you were birthed into the family of God. And we'd count it an honor for you to stay with us. If you don't, that's okay. But we hope you will. We'll come by your house and talk to you about some things. That'd be great. What's the pleasure of the church in accepting Amber Baker into the fellowship of our church? Brother Butler, second. Brother Stover, all in favor, raise your hand high and say aye. God bless you. Post, same sign, so carry. I don't know how many that was. Really, it doesn't matter. I'll tell you why. Every individual counts. It's not a matter of numbers. It's a matter of God spoke to these people. We praise Him for it. Hey, we went overtime today, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Amen. I had a lady talk to me this week and says, you need to hold your people longer because they're getting a Burger King before I am. So I'm just trying to help her out, you know. This is thrilling. We have no idea what's going on in the children. Well, they had a host over there, the youth. Have no idea. We'll find out later. But we praise God for what happened here. Amen. Thank God. Now, what I want to do, I want to dismiss now all of the Sunday school workers that are distributing gifts. Please get a head start. Please, or you'll be tackled on your way. Please. Let me remind all the adults, if you're a first-time visitor, please take your visitor's card by the Welcome Center. And we've got a special gift just for you, just for saying thank you for being here. If you're visiting with us, please remember to do that. That'd be great. And on your way out, listen, please. Every adult, the treat bags are for adults only because the children are receiving gifts, okay? So the treat bags are for the adults who are here. Please do not grab one for your mom, dad, dog, and everything like that. But as you leave, the treat bags will be at the doors. Please take one per adult, and you can go. All the children, let me dismiss the children first. All the children who are under my voice, first through sixth grade and even teenagers, if you'll go to your departments right now and receive your gift. And now all the adults, if you'll stand with us, please. God bless you. Let's pray for the prison service tonight. We're praying for a doubleheader tonight at the prison service. Brother Garraby preaching in here at 7 o'clock. And all these folks who made a profession of faith will be by your house. God bless you. Amen. Let's pray together. I'm going to ask Brother Bernard, if you don't mind, sir. Mr. Gordon Bernard, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and thank God for this, and please get a treat bag, and visitors go by the Welcome Center, and that'll be a blessing. Mr. Bernard, you go right ahead, sir.